Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The word of God from Hebrews chapter 13, from which we heard our epistle this evening. We have an altar from which those who serve the tent have no right to eat, for the bodies of those animals whose blood is brought into the holy places by the high priest as a sacrifice for sin are burned outside the camp. So Jesus also suffered outside the gate in order to sanctify the people through his own blood. This is God's word. What is a saint? That's a term we know is connected with the church. But what exactly is a saint? Well, it's a term often applied to the apostles. They were the ones who witnessed Jesus being arrested, taken to be crucified. They saw him resurrected. Certainly a saintly thing to do. We talk about St. Peter, St. Paul, St. Matthew, St. John. We also use that term to refer to the other New Testament writers, even though they weren't immediate followers of Jesus, St. Mark, St. Luke. The term saint can also be used to apply to some sort of dead super Christian. We talk about the great characters of church history as saints. Saint Augustine, a doctor of the church in the 4th century. Saint Jerome, who translated the Bible into Latin when Latin was the language of the world. The Roman Catholic Church often will declare certain individuals to be saints. In 2015, they canonized Pope John Paul II. He is now technically in the Catholic Church, Saint John Paul the Great. But properly speaking, a saint is nothing more and nothing less than a baptized believer who shares in the blood and holiness of Jesus Christ. We have a day even on our church calendar. We call it All Saints Day. It's often a day connected with remembering those who have gone before us into eternal rest. But the great message of All Saints Day, the great message of Holy Scripture is that in Christ, we are all saints. Something we do well to remember, for as often as we talk about ourselves being poor, miserable sinners, which we are. We are both sinner and saint simultaneously, the Reformation famously said. We are both completely wretched, miserable, deserving of death and damnation, and yet also holy saints in the eyes of God our Father. Tonight in our reading from Hebrews 13, it says that Jesus sanctifies the people. The word sanctify is a word that literally means to make holy. In fact, think of the song we sing in our communion liturgy. It's called the Sanctus. You can think of that word sanctify. We literally sing in that song, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. But not only is God holy, those who are in Jesus Christ are sanctified. They are made holy. Now that word holy doesn't just mean pure or perfect or sinless or righteous, but all of those things are connected with it. The word holy literally means to be set apart. Different from everyone and everything else. One of the great misconceptions of the whole Old Testament is that you were saved by following all these laws that God gave to his people, Israel. That's just not true. But God did give all these laws for a very specific reason. I'm convinced, and I've heard teachers make this point before, and I think they're right, that the most important passage in the whole Old Testament might be Leviticus 19, 1 through 2. Like Leviticus. Well, those of you who come to our Bible studies know I'm a kind of a weird fan of Leviticus. And you're like, why? All that blood and sacrifice and cleanliness and all the purity laws and stuff. What? We skip right past Leviticus. Many a yearly Bible reading plan has died on the battleground of Leviticus. You get through Genesis, you get through Exodus, and then you get to Leviticus, and what in the world is happening here? It's been said, though, that amongst Jewish boys who are preparing for their bar mitzvah, their coming to age, that the very first thing they work on studying and memorizing from is the book of Leviticus. Because it's the book of worship. It was all about God establishing the worship of Israel. And the book of Hebrews that we've been looking at in Lent is the New Testament parallel to Leviticus. It shows how everything they did in the Old Testament relates to what we do now as God's people. And in the midst of Leviticus, we read, "The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, 'Speak to all the people of Israel and say to them, you shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy.'" You can make a case that this is the most profound passage in the whole Old Testament. Why did Israel do all these sacrifices? Why did they keep all these food laws, eating kosher, not eating pork, not eating certain things, all these rules they had to follow? Why did they have all these laws regarding cleanliness, when they could approach the temple or the tabernacle, when they could do certain things? It was all about sharing in the holiness of the Lord. You see, God had saved Israel, called them out of slavery in Egypt, and now he wanted them to be holy as he is holy. In fact, in Exodus 19, before he even gives them a bit of law, he says to them, "You will be for me a kingdom of priests, a holy nation." God wants his people to share in his holiness. Because you see, God is like no other. There is no God like him. You can't fashion for yourself a God that has the same power, the same knowledge, the same grasp of eternity and power from beginning to end throughout all ages. You can't come up with a God like him. There is only one. He is different. He is set apart. He is the standard of what is pure and righteous and good. And he wants you to share in it. He wanted Israel to share in it as well. And for that, he gives you Jesus Christ to sanctify you so that you can share in God's holiness. How do we share in the holiness of Jesus Christ? By sharing in the holy meal that he has given to us. We eat his most holy body. We drink his most holy blood. Our reading says we have an altar from which those who serve the tent have no right to eat. By the time Hebrews was written, that worship of the Old Testament had been corrupted in a lot of ways. And so much of Israel had become a people who thought that they were saved based on their genealogy, or that they were saved based on the traditions and rules that they kept. But they had completely abandoned any notion of God bringing them into his holiness. That's what God offers you this evening as you come to his altar, to this table. A meal for sinners for whom Christ has given his body and his blood to make you holy. A different kind of people. A people set apart from all others. You know, you as the church, you as the new Israel, are to not be like other people. Doesn't mean we have our noses up in the air and we don't talk to others or deal with others. We certainly have a different standard, a different calling, a different understanding of who we are and how we relate to this world. When others look at you, do they see you as someone different? Or do they see someone who's just like everyone else in the world? Same greed, same lust, same jealousy, same idolatry, same giving in to narcissism and self-interest and what will make me happy. Or do they see someone who knows that they're different? Not because of anything they possess themselves, but because the blood of Jesus Christ has set them apart. As God's holy people, we are, believe it or not, priests. St. Peter uses that language. He says in 1 Peter chapter 2, you are a royal priesthood. You are priests. Not in the same way that the priests of the Old Testament were priests offering their sacrifices of blood and flesh and grain day in and day out before the tabernacle. You are priests of a different sort. You serve with Jesus. He joins you in praising the Father in heaven. We don't need a tent to praise our God. We have Jesus in whom we share in his holiness. And as Paul reminds us in Romans chapter 12, our lives actually become what Paul calls living sacrifices. And our callings as husbands and wives and fathers and mothers and grandmas and grandpas and aunties and uncles and friends and neighbors and workers and bosses and citizens and neighbors and drivers and taxpayers and all the different callings that God has given us. When we serve in those roles in Christ with love toward our neighbor, we offer a holy, pleasing sacrifice to God. We come into his presence week in and week out, and even more often on some occasions, to bring our praise, to bring our offerings, to bring our living sacrifices to him who has brought us into his holiness. You, dear friends in Jesus, are saints, washed, cleansed, pardoned, in the blood of the one who gave himself for you, so that you would become like him, holy, set apart for service to God, day in and day out. We come to the altar tonight, as priests of old did in the Old Testament, and all the way up through the temple era, till some 30 or 40 years after the life of Jesus, that temple was destroyed and never was rebuilt. We come to the altar where Jesus invites us to share in his holiness, in his body, and in his blood. Thanks be to God for this blood of Jesus Christ, our Savior, our High Priest, the one who makes us priests along with him, to serve our God with living sacrifices, knowing all the while what makes us pleasing in our Father's sight is that blood that makes us holy now and always. Amen. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.